Here we go. Ruth, chapter. This is background. First 7 verses. We've got Ruth and Naomi. Naomi says, it's time. It's time for me to mentor you and show you how to get to the next level. Let me just go through these levels again. One, she's humble. She gets up every day and begins her work as a gleaner without complaint. Two, she continues to not go back to Moab. Amen. Three, her hope is on the promises and the favor that she's received from Boaz, staying on the right field, standing on the promises. Four, she's exemplifying the byproduct or the deliverables from the Holy Spirit. Because what God is blessing her with, she's able to bless others at step 5. When she gets blessed, she brings some back for Naomi. Now she's getting ready to move to step 6. This is important for us to understand, because this is just not a story about Ruth. This is the plan of God for Ruth's life. This is the plan of God for God to have dominion over the earth. This is the plan of God for you and I. Follow the steps. So, Naomi says, before you meet Boaz and you go to level 6, you need to go back through and recycle. And one, you need to recognize the need that you need to put off the old and put on the new and put you on some smell good, that anointing that makes you smell good. And then you get down to the threshing floor, all right? because you've done step 5 or whatever by blessing me, and you have to obey what the man. First, as we finish up this review, find a mentor who's connected to God. Now, you can have a mentor in the secular world who's connected to the secular world and knows how to help you get promoted or whatever, all right? But in the spiritual realm, you need to make sure your mentor is connected to God, all right? If Ray Ray and Pookie Jones ain't saved, they don't need to be mentoring you on spiritual things, okay? Two, be a good mentee. Obey what the mentor says. And the neat thing about Ruth is, she obeys. Now, any other questions on the review? We're getting ready to enter stage 6. And you'll see on the screen there, because I'm preaching this today, so I give my sermons a title. And when all you can do is wait. Title this message, when all you can do is just wait. Okay. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? Would be startled. I'm not going to say that. I almost said something that you didn't need to hear. All right, here we go. Who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Ooh, I like this. He knows who we are. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Means by that is the covering. I need you to cover me and protect me. And what she is doing here is she is invoking the kinsman redeemer clause that's in Leviticus chapter 25. So she's exercising her legal and spiritual rights. All right? Now, the reason why this is step 6 is because, as we said before, he's at the place where there's separation. Sheep and goats, wheat and tares. It's harvest time. Which represents the second coming of Christ when there is separation between good and evil. Alright? Step 6. There's a separation there.
And there's mercy.
And there's mercy there. There's deliverance there. There's victory there. But you got to get to the place where you have to wait for the victory. all you can do is wait. All right. So, she's invoking that clause. You can take a look at some of my notes. Uncovering his feet was a sign in those days of asking for protection. I like the idea of come boldly to the throne of grace. And I don't know, and I'm not going to preach this, but I remember in Matthew 23:37, there's the scripture that Christ says as he goes into Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem! Thou that killest the prophets and stoning them that were sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Under the wings, that sign of protection from the king. All right. Here is what Leviticus 25:25-27 says. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, which means to get it back, then he may redeem or buy back what his brother sold. So Amalek must have sold some possessions that they had in the land and took that money to survive in the place where none of us, and especially Paul, wants to be. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since his sale and restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. This was in the law. Which means if it came from God, it was in the law, God's intent for his people was that they get back what they lost. Restoration. Oh my goodness. What is it that we have lost that God wants us to restore? Maybe it's your checkbook. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your peace. I think I'd rather have his peace than anything else. That's why I asked my mom today, you still love Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Do you know you have everlasting life? Is your faith in Jesus? I need her to have that peace. I need to have that peace that she's going to see my dad. Peace. You can have peace before you leave this room. Follow the steps. All right. So Boaz represents her redeemer, or in the Hebrew, the goel. Likewise, since Boaz is a type of Christ in this story, we have a kinsman redeemer too. Near kin. He calls us his brothers and sisters. He calls us his friend. I'm a friend of God. We're related to him by the blood, through the blood. And the interesting thing about a redeemer, the redeemer, and I know I have it in my notes, the redeemer has to be kinfolk. He has to be willing to redeem. He has to be able to redeem. And he has to be free from debt himself. Christ wants to redeem us. He is able to redeem us. He is free indeed. It's good to have a good connection. Oh my God. If you're going to be at a class, this might be a good one to be at. And level 7 is coming. You can catch the notes, but this is so powerful. Which means Christ has designed that he must bless us on purpose. We just have to approach him the right way. Get to level 6, 7 follows. Okay, here we go. Has anybody ever looked at this story like this? This is just so powerful. because I see myself in this. All right, verse 10. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. Why is she blessed? For you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning. And that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. Mark this. Do not fear. And she's better now than she was at the beginning. And she wasn't too shabby at the beginning. Some key points here. One, she's showing more kindness now than at the beginning. Two, no fear. And I'll get into more details in just a minute here. All right. Now, I will do for you all that you request. I will be your protector. I will redeem you. I will do what you ask me to do. Why is he going to do it? For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. She's got a good name. Got a good name. Luke, I'll tell you what my dad told me. I was getting ready. I was going to my first assignment as a soldier. And my dad worked at the same base. We didn't have a whole lot of deep conversations. We certainly didn't talk about the intricate details of the Bible like this. That generation didn't really do that. But he was concerned about his name. And so we didn't have, you know, other than talking about sports and stuff like that, and sometimes girlfriends, you know, we just didn't have a whole lot of deep conversation. But when he drove me to the base for my first day of work, he pulled off to the side. He said, look here, boy. I got a good name on this base. Don't mess up my name. And when I want to do some kooky stuff, I remembered I got a name to protect. You protect your name. Because it's his name.
And crush name.
So as I protect my name and who I am and who I represent in the natural, when I'm playing a sport and I got my name across the backside in the natural, in the spiritual realm, I'm still representing the king.
Jill Hancock says her parents always told her to remember whose she is.
Yes. Oh! I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. I belong to Jesus. That's a song you sang back in the day.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's up there.
He's up there.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to know what it was, but I'm thinking. I'm thinking, we could probably look it up, but I'm thinking tradition is saying he's somewhere around 60 and she's somewhere, you know, it's about 20, 30 year difference. Yeah.
It works out that way sometimes.
It works out that way sometimes. All right. Verse 12, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you and redeem you, good, let him do it. Oh, I love this. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives, promise. It's almost like swearing on the Bible. Lie down until morning. How awesome is this? You come from Moab. You're not part of the tribe. You're outside of the will of God. You get back into the will of God. You get adopted in. Every Gentile ought to be excited about this. And he comes back, regardless of your past or where you came from, he says, I like you. And I'll marry you. I'll bring you into my home. Ooh, the great love of God. All right, let me go through my notes or whatever, see if I missed anything. He blesses her because she has increased in her level of kindness. So I went and I looked up kindness in the lexicon. Kindness here can be translated to mercy. She has more mercy now than what she exemplified before. She's receiving more mercy now at the end than she did in the beginning. She is giving more mercy now than she did at the beginning. Here's another definition. Good. She was good at the beginning, but she's better now. Here is another translation in use. Faithfulness. She was faithful before, but she's risen to a greater degree of faithfulness. Every day she gets up. Every day she recognizes the need for Christ. Every day she repents. Every day she has the hope of Boaz. Every day she's led to try to do some goodness and give somebody overflow what she's blessed with. Every day she extends mercy. Time for victory. Time to move to the next level. Wow. One time faith is good. Faithfulness is better. She has I just said something. When you follow the steps, you grow from glory to glory, and you grow from faith to faith. There's a higher level of faith, and he will bless you along the way, so he'll help you get to level 6. How does he help me get to level 6? The same way he did for Ruth. He'll bless you on purpose. To encourage you, stay in the right field. He'll bless you on purpose by giving you the Word of God and instructions. How do I get to level 6? I'm so glad you're going to find a good life group. We need to be praying that they find a good life group. Because you don't get to level 6 without good word of instructions. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. You start out with a little word, he'll give you a deeper word. It's the rhema word. It's the word. It's the word. It is the word. It is the word. It's God's word. It's the word. It shows you how to live. Every level, it's the word. Father God, I pray that the McGuire's find a good class of fellowship that gives them the word. May this class be a class that never looks beyond the word. Amen. She's kinder now. She's better. You know, when you're preaching, you got to give that a little run in there. She's kinder now. She's better. more good and more faithful now. How did Boaz know that she was better now than at the beginning? This is huge. How did he know that she was better now? She was good before, but how did he know she was better now than at the beginning? Wow. Here's what I said. She's still there. Still there. Still there. Working every day. Still there. Still standing on the promises. Still there.
Well, you remember when she said to Ruth, "Your God will be my God"?
Yep.
She's following Hebrew law.
Yep.
By, you know, listening to Naomi.
Yep.
So she is following what, you know.
It's one thing to say it when you're at level 1 through 4, but when you go through some stuff,
yeah, right,
and you're doing it on a daily basis, you can get tired after a while.
So I think the fact she's following the Hebrew law and following
still there,
Naomi's God,
still there,
true God.
I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday, you know, about my mom, and I didn't realize, you know, my mom's, she's a wonderful lady, but she's kind of difficult to live with. She's kind of perfectionist or whatever. Kind of old and set in her ways. She ain't changing. And my sister-in-law is going on 7 years that she's been caring for her. Oh, wow. And if you know anything about being a caregiver, as this has been gone, oh, it's hard. And you know, the other day she was like, "Oh boy, Lord help me." almost threw an old lady out the window today. I'm like, "Hang in there, sis, hang in there." And so yesterday, you know, I was like, you know, she's like, you know, hospice is an option. Hospice is an option. You know, I'm like, you know, I talked to the hospital care manager and she's saying, you know, if we qualify, this could be it. No, stop speaking down. Don't speak down. Been through too much. God has to move. And I'm like, boom, story. He's still there. And she said, God has to bless me on purpose. He has to bless us on purpose because we're still here. We've been here for 6.5 years. We're still here. This is the time when he's going to have to move. And she doesn't know all the details of the steps. I keep telling her about it. But I'm sitting here going, boom, sis, here's your word. Here's your word. I don't do a whole lot of things well, but I kind of know a little bit of this. And the Lord, the Spirit gave it to me. I said, hey, let me tell you about the story of Ruth. Thank you for reproving me and not speaking doubt. Because we got to qualify for hospice. I'm just going to stand on this word. We're in this story. This is our story. He's got a blessing from her. And all we got to do is wait. We didn't have to wait long. We waited 45 minutes. And the hospice agency that's like almost across the street from where my mom's lives calls up. In 3 hours, equipment, bed, everything, already in the house. And the bed that she had, the young guy that was moving all the new equipment in is moving into a brand new apartment and doesn't have a bed. You know, I'm running around the hospital room praising God. She's running around in the apartment praising God. We're just praising God, looking at God. He blessed us on purpose. And guess what? He ain't through yet. Level 7 is coming. Peace is coming. God's best is coming. Oh, when we get to see his face.
We so often forget that, especially after such a long life lived, that his best, when you're in that condition, the end of life, is his best is
amen.
His eternal glory.
Amen.
His presence forever.
I told my oldest daughter, you know, trying to get mom to eat this morning, whatever she actually was taking a little bit of sugar. My daughter, you need to be more patient. I'm like, you don't know what I went through yesterday trying to get her one to eat. You know? And I said, hey, look, I ain't going out like this. I said, just let me out in the woods someplace.
I'll punch that door. Open the door, let me go.
Let me go wander. Because I always want to know in my mind I have a Savior. I want to be, well, anyway, let me just keep going. Every day she's going through that 5-step process of being a good leader. Every day. She's still there. Wow. I put out another point here. Because she didn't seek the easy way out and settle for less than the best. Because he says, you could have gone here. You could have taken the easy way out. You could have went to some of these other younger guys. Yeah, he was old. You could have went with something with something young. I think I want something old and proven. You could have took the easy way out. You are still here. And doesn't that make sense? Your best wrestling day can't happen unless you practice. It's a process. Now, I didn't like practice. I just want to get in the game and hope that I can perform real well without practice. But after I realized that practice and game performance is like synonymous, practice, and I got other people going through it with me, practice became a little bit more fun. And it's needed.
You know, it's interesting, Chuck. When I was commander of a unit, you know, you have exercise, you probably understand this too. You have exercises. And I tell you what, some of the folks are just like, well, we've got to do all this. Well, we've got to do all this. And it says, we will play if the balloon goes up, how we practice.
Mm-hmm. Write that down.
And I heard some majors at Maxwell complaining because they couldn't leave the gym one time because there was a scenario was a live shooter on the base.
Yep.
You know, and they locked everything down.
Yep.
And they were complaining because I got things to do. And I went over to them. I said, gentlemen, I said, you will play how you practice. And then there was some young enlisted guy standing over here and all this. it's really bothering me when it comes to leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, so
it's not about you. I like that. Play how you practice. Especially in today's world. Whew. You better practice. You don't know. You don't know. Yes, ma'am.
In the movie Scully, the reason he was able to land that plane.
Oh, yeah.
He played it while he practiced.
Yeah.
He was able to do it.
I just always want to be in the ready. The military knows that. We always want to be on the ready line. We always want to be in an operational readiness. We practice. I love that. Every day, I want to practice these steps. And you guys encouraged me today.
That's why the term practice is in your religion.
Yeah. But Paul, you bring up a good point. Practice religion. Let me tell you something. John was out last week. We had a break last week. That's why we weren't off.
Right.
Yeah.
We had.
Okay. I was at a conference in Nashville. They had me speak on leadership. Right. And I gave a good leadership presentation. But it's biblical leadership as an example. You know, when we're in the military, we used to always go to leadership training all the time. NCOs, officers, they always had NCO Academy, this, that, and it was always about leadership. And we heard about Sun Tzu and Clausewitz and MacArthur and Patton and all these great leaders. One thing they never put in there, the greatest leader of all, they never had God, they never had Moses. I'm like, let's take a look and see how the steps play into leadership. And I went through this whole thing about leadership and biblical leadership and how God and Moses or whatever, and just all the different tools and stuff like that. It was powerful. It was pentecostal. It was laughter, it was joking, it was serious. And then I got serious and asked them, Christ says to pick up your cross daily. I said, do you know how to pick up your cross and how to do that? And there was silence. And I said, this is not a rhetorical question. You guys have been in church for years. Do you know how to pick up your cross? They never answered. They weren't sure. They did not know. And these were not young saints. These were elders and pastors and missionaries. And they did not know. When they left, they knew an example of that. Humility in need is an example of picking up the cross. I wonder if we were to ask that question, which is the key first step of practice in the first place. Recognizing the need for practice in the first place is picking up the cross. I wonder how many people who have been saved for years understand how to pick up the cross. Wow. Get a good Bible study class. Amen. All right. Choices have consequences. She was faithful until the end and didn't pursue after others. Stay in the right field and pursue God the right way. If you ever need these notes, I'll have them posted out there after next week, because I ain't posting them until I get through with chapter 4 next week.
Somehow the right field ain't comfortable.
Oh. I told him at the conference, I'm an introvert. I don't like people.
I'm saying, like, she was going out and leaning every day.
But you know what?
In the heat, but she was in the right place for her redeemer.
But when I realize I'm in the right place or whatever, I can be flexible. And I can put that down as step number 2. And I'm going to be whoever I need to be for him. Boaz tells her to fear not. I love this. Why did he tell her to fear not? What does she have to be afraid of?
Well, she could be afraid of rejection.
Fear of rejection. Is that real for us today?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Fear of failure. In my notes. Fear of not being redeemed. Fear of not being saved. As I get older, I need to have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I'm going to heaven and glory divine. But if I got some doubt about that, woo, then death is a very scary thing, because that's all I know. I don't think my fate is worm food. fear of not getting God's best. Is this as good as it gets? No. It gets better. It gets better.
Well, she, as we stand on God's promises, she just had to look back at Boaz and look at what he had said to her from the get-go.
That's how you stay in position for line for step six.
That's what gave her the guts to be where she was in the first place.
By following the instructions of the mentor.
She put herself in a very vulnerable situation in the natural.
Practice and listen to your coach. Practice and listen to your coach. Wait a minute. He already told you before, if you were getting ready to wrestle somebody who's bigger and badder and got a reputation, but you've been practicing, and your coach tells you, all right, now this is how you get around this guy. Are you going to go in? You don't go in there like a wild dog. And we need to be tackling things in the spirit like a bunch of wild dogs. No. How does Boaz calm her fear? Running out of time, so I just give it to you. A promise.
Yep, that's how it works.
A word. The word, a promise. How does that work today? He still gives us a word. Mm-hmm. He still gives us a promise. And he gives us stories like this to show us step by step. If he did it for Ruth, he wants to do it for us. Got some application for Dave. Just as Ruth faithfully waits on the promise of God, we should continue to stand on his promises. Don't be weary, for he is faithful to deliver you. This story in the testimony of Ruth is our story. Or it can be. It should be. Interesting. She's broke, but she's celebrated as being a good woman. Your bank account, your clothes, your car, and your will not qualify you to be good.
You're famous.
I like all those things. And God will bless you with all those things. But that name, that character is more important than anything else. People notice you when you are going through transition by your faith in the promises. People will notice you how you go through it. Thank you guys for encouraging me. If I'm telling you about my mom, I got my foreheads. You guys look like a bunch of bobbleheads. Yep, you know, we've been there. Do you know how refreshing that is to be able to, because you feel like you are in something by yourself. Come on, Elijah. I'm the only one here. I got 300 back there. You ain't the only one.
Yeah.
Was it 3,000?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 300. What's a zero a month, friends? Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the movie Spidey. Yeah. Spidey.
You know, when you were saying, Boaz, to fear not, and solve your fear with promise. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not.
Yeah.
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same message.
The promise.
It's the step. Same, yeah. Because we can get, it's scary out there. When you are in the right position at the threshing floor, that's the place of separation. You don't have to fear separation from him. I don't have to pray about being, or be worried about being rejected by him if I can get to level six. Again, I told you, faithfulness is better than one-time faith or sometime faith. Many a Christian may start to race well, but greater is their faithfulness to continue to trust in him. Great is his faithfulness to us. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Too often we want to bypass the process and fast forward to the reward and happy ending. It doesn't work like that in the natural, and it doesn't work like that in the spiritual. Practice.
Sadly, though, that's what the world's view is. They want to skip to the end and not do all the work in between.
Doesn't work like that.
No.
Doesn't work like that.
No deferred gratification.
Yep.
When our daughter, and sadly it happened here in Montgomery, but when our middle daughter, husband went astray, sat with the pastor of the church they were going to, and the two of them, we talked about, this is going to be a long road. Mm-hmm. But if you are willing to put in all the work,
yep,
you might, no guarantee, but you might come out on the end a healthy couple.
Yep.
They wanted to get to the end. They didn't want to have to put in the hard work. Both of them. They're both equally. And so we have, you know, two grandchildren that have parents and have to do the different thing every weekend. And,
wow. So, yep. So, they got to step one.
That's it.
They're recognized. Yeah.
Well.
And they didn't get to step two because they're not going to repent and change their mind about this. And so now your hope's not in Christ. When I do marriage counseling, I always ask, hey, do you think God can fix this? Yeah. Do you think he wants to fix this? Sure. What gives him more glory? Because then he gets glory, and then you have a story that brings him glory. And then you become a minister for me. So really, if you say yes to all that, it only boils down to this. It gets down to step number two. Do you want him to fix it? Or do you continue wanting to do what you want to do? Mm-hmm. All right. And again, that example I just described again, he's willing to pay the price. He's able to pay the price. He's free indeed. He wants to restore you and I, marriage, relationships, finances, peace. He's a God of restoration, which means restoration comes after salvation. He doesn't just save you just to save you and keep you broke and poor. He saves you so that he can restore the peace that you once had. All right, verse 13, she stays, she receives instructions. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Ruth is to stay there tonight. In the morning, he will see if the other kinsman is willing to perform the part of the kinsman redeemer. Let's get to my bullet points. There's an obstacle at night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. All right. Don't be discouraged if there are obstacles in your path on the way to your better season. Oh, I hope we get approved for hospice. Worry about the obstacles when you're at level six. He'll take care of the obstacles. Amen. Don't be discouraged if he doesn't take care of it that night or right now. Just keep hanging around Boaz. I mean Jesus. I get them mixed up sometimes. If you made it this far and you're still running into challenges, Boaz says, don't fear. He's got this. She still hasn't received God's best yet, but she can praise him because she has a new promise that she will be delivered. She can praise him in the best. He began a good work in her. He's faithful to complete it to the end. He would not be blessing her on purpose if he wasn't going to fulfill it. Just be encouraged. Sometimes those small blessings are just the thing that you need to know to stay in the fight. Keep practicing. Application for today. Same principles hold true for us as believers today. If you don't know the promise here, second bullet, that God has for you, you can find it in the Bible. what she's also finding in this story. Just follow the steps. He's the same God. He's the same God. I'm not going to do that one. All right. If he can make this happen for Ruth, he is willing and able to do the same thing for us. That is the plan. He is our kinsman redeemer. All right. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also, he said, bring that shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. Let's talk about this. I think I got enough time to get through this. She lay at his feet until morning. She arose before no one could recognize her. Lord, forgive me. I've done that before. Anyway, let's keep going. Then he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the threshing floor or the dorm room. Anyway, let's keep going.
He was protecting her reputation. Yes.
Yes.
And there's times we go and lay at his feet, and he covers us, and he tells us just, let's just keep this between me and you,
because
he's protecting us.
And Boaz, Jesus, is not trying to take, he could have, he's not trying to take advantage of you. Just do what he says. He's not trying to take advantage of you and I. And he's concerned about our reputation. Application for today. Some folk don't need to know some things. Amen. Here's another application. If you're waiting for God to move in the morning, don't be found sinning at night. Woo! If you're waiting for God to work out your problems in the morning, don't be found sinning at night. What are you? Before she goes, he blesses her with 6 measures of barley. I looked that up. That's over 12 gallons.
That's a lot of grain.
That's a lot of grain. That's a hookup.
Why
sit? Yes, yeah. Well, she's young.
He provided her with her immediate needs.
Roger said something that's so profound. I only saw it in my quiet time yesterday. I was at the hospital just reading the word, getting ready for today. He said something I didn't see before yesterday. Look at the last bullet. He did not give her what she asked for. What did she ask for?
Redemption.
Redemption. Cover me. Protect me. Do it now. Did she get blessed?
On purpose.
On purpose. Thank you. But she didn't get what she asked for right then. But she got what she needed. Don't go off all batty and flippy, all right, when he blesses you and you complain about the blessing because it wasn't what you asked for. It's what you need right now to wait on him to give you what you asked for.
And it's interesting, Chuck, to hear people say the reason they don't believe in God, and God, you know, there's not a God because they're not good, because they wouldn't have let my loved one die or my loved one get hurt or develop cancer.
You got to go talk to Susan, because she just gave the word right there. There's something better than this when you're lined up. You got to see it from a godly perspective. It was never his perspective for us to stay here forever anyway. It's always temporary. But he said he'd be with us and he'd bless us and let us enjoy it before we got there.
We're just passing through.
Just passing through. Why 6? Because that's what level she's at. And that ought to be an encouragement to us. Because we know his perfect plan is 7 and 8. 8 new beginnings. So if he says, I'm going to do what I need to do, and she's at 6, then whew, I know 7.
7 is coming up.
7 is coming up. I don't feel like a crap game. Anyway. You write that down.
The crap game?
Yeah.
Lesson number 7.
Explain that one, then you do some class study.
Just tell them the dice is loaded.
Yeah.
Full of the Spirit. Anyway, here's another reason why it's probably just 6. He gave her all she could have. If he gave her any more, it'd be wasted. Gave her all that she can. That is very good. You get double on 6. If you haven't received what you asked for, it doesn't mean you didn't get blessed. You've got to bless you on purpose. Don't complain about the blessing that you received. God knows what you're going to handle, and His best is still in front of you. Amen. God knew I was going to freak out if they didn't approve us for hospice yesterday. Let me go on and bless this boy. Now, I know he's a preacher. I know he knows these steps. Let me go on and bless him right now, because if I don't bless him right now, he'll go flipping out. She has a promise and a blessing that's going to encourage her along the way. It will work the same way for us. If we continue faithfully through the process, we must stand on the promises and take note of the blessings along the way. They are designed to encourage and sustain you while you wait. He has to give you a word. I hope and pray that something was said today through these scriptures that gives you a word that encourages you to know that His best is on the way. Just wait for it. And look to see if He's blessed you along the way while you wait. He'll give you a word and He'll give you evidence. Last piece of scripture, verse 16. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" I love this. Every time she goes out and comes back and meets Boaz, she comes back blessed, and mother-in-law goes, "Man, you didn't go out like that." Is that you? I want people to be able to ask that about me. Is that you? You got a joy. You look different. You got something. You're coming back here with something I never expected you to come back with. Ask me who I am. Yeah, it's me. All right. Is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. I ought to look different because of all of the things that God has done for me. My story. She said, these 6 ephah of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. He's going to bless you on purpose so that you are not empty-handed. You got something to share with somebody else. Somebody needs to know how to pick up the cross. Somebody needs to know how to wait on him. Somebody needs to know about these steps. Somebody needs to know about your story. I needed to know about the story of your mama. It's not just about you. What you've gone through is a blessing to somebody else. Wow. This word is good. Gets better. Verse 18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. It may not always turn out the way that you expected it, but you just sit still, because now there is nothing else that you can do but just wait. Tag. You're in. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Christ is not going to rest until he comes back, defeats the enemy, and puts his dominion in the earth and in our lives. I heard Susan talking about today. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? It's still going to be us, but we ain't going to have the propensity to sin.
down that final verses by him giving her that barley.
Yeah.
She was able to sit still. She didn't have to go out to the fields and glean that day.
Right. Right. Oh. Hey. Transition is just about over. Transition just about over. His peace and his best are close. I'm going to save some of the application for today because we'll use it for summary background tomorrow. I need to leave. Application for today, though, you won't come out of this empty if you help others reach his best. You won't come out of this empty if you help others reach his best. Naomi is a good mentor when she stops feeling sorry for herself and puts others first. Never about you. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and 6. Verse 18. More good advice. Sit still and rest and watch him work. She had done all she could do and needed to do. Boaz is at work now. Sit still until you see how it will work out. Her answer is on the way. Last bullet. She has moved from level 5, extending mercy to others. And she's now at level 6, trusting in Christ for the victory. That's it. Mike, I'm not going to see you for a little while, so if it's okay with you, brother, would you mind praying us out this morning?
Absolutely. I wouldn't mind. That's Father God, thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and listen to the